example of the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Thus far the text. Thousands of years after they were carved into stone by the finger of God, the Ten Commandments continue to be controversial. Non-Christians criticize Christians who want the law displayed in courthouses. Non-Lutherans criticize Lutherans who memorize God's commandments as part of our small catechism. And in the 1500s, Lutherans fought against other Lutherans about whether or not the law belonged in the pulpit. And sadly, that continues to the present day. All this fuss is because you don't really like the law. Your old Adam kicks and screams against it. If one were to take our Lord's sermon, which serves as our gospel text for today, and mark all the law in red and all the gospel in blue, well, let's just say that you wouldn't want to weigh the result in front of a bowl, meaning that there is a ton of law or red in this gospel text. Of course, you would like the law when it is applied to others, but not to you. When it comes to your own sins, you want mercy. Or at least you want to get away with it. When it comes to the sins of others, you want justice. And to make matters more confusing, God is both perfectly just and perfectly merciful. The mystery of faith that, thankfully, exhausts your reason. And yet, with God's providence working through the historic one-year lectionary, here you are, once again, pondering the Ten Commandments and their place in faith and life. The Lord, in His infinite wisdom, is calling you to repentance right here and now by yet again reminding you of His law. And please remember that in the use of the "you" language coming from the pulpit, the proclamation includes and speaks to the fleshly sinner who humbly fills the office of the holy ministry before you. So, who can sit perfectly still and comfortable as these accusatory commands remind you of your failures, your disappointments, your hurtful thoughts, words, and deeds toward others, and your indifference toward your Creator? If that weren't enough, even though most of you can safely say that you have not maliciously taken a human life, the Lord reveals the depths of His law by cutting off the last bit of presumed righteousness you can take from the commandment, "You shall not murder." For it's the blessed Lord who preaches that everyone who is angry with his brother breaks the commandment and is liable to judgment, and whoever insults his brother is liable to the council, and whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the fires of hell. And immediately divine service. Lightning's not going to strike us. I am human, and I prove it. But after all of that law, this is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And thanks indeed be to God for this airtight and no nonsense law, which breaks you of any illusion that you can save yourselves. It strips you of any delusion that you are anything but poor, miserable sinners. The law which Jesus did not abolish cuts off every avenue of escape and slams every door in your face. Every door except one. I am the door, says Jesus. The only door through which you can pass on to safety is Christ. The only way to the other side of that door is through His bringing you to confession and repentance in response to God's law. There is no choice in the matter. God's living and active word simply bring you to fall down upon the ground before God. He brings you to hit rock bottom. And this, dear Christians, makes the blood of your old Adam boil. But then it is glaringly clear that there is no other way except through the merits of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you. That is the gospel of the Lord. And this one way out is the only begotten Son, whose death on the cross atoned for your sins. He is the only lifeline that you get. But He is the only lifeline that you need. For He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And God's word of law brings you to finally tire of running away from the reality that you need to repent and that you cannot save yourselves. There is the merciful Savior to pick up your weary bodies, lifting you up onto His scarred and bloodied shoulders, carrying you safely between the equally frightening lies of the devil and the truth of your own unworthiness. And rather than grumble about the way that the law made you feel, rejoice instead in the Savior to whom the law drew you. For your merciful Redeemer does for you what you cannot do. The wages of sin is death, and part of the Lord's fulfillment of the law was His very own undeserved death. Do you not know, asks St. Paul, that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In holy baptism, your sinful, walking dead selves are buried by God's doing with Christ. The water and word is a death sentence for your old Adam. And it is a regenerating, life-creating bath that brings forth a new man. My friends, in Christ, This is no mere symbol. Listen to the Holy Apostle. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Just as Jesus was dead and rose physically, bodily from the grave, so too shall you. In fact, you already have new life, dying and rising by faith through Christ crucified, into whom you have been baptized. If the law merely wounded you or simply annoyed you, if you could weasel your way out of it or push it away through your disapproval, you would be exactly where you in your sinful flesh would want to be, on your own. And yet, that is not where God desires you to be. Dear friends, that is why the law of God is preached in all of its sternness, so that it leaves you with no way out except Christ alone. The law that so repulses you drives you right into the loving arms of your Savior, stretched out on the cross, dying to deliver the merits of his forgiveness of you to you. By the grace of God, it is received through repentance and belief. Without the law in its severity, you would never know the gospel in its sweetness. And worst of all, without the law, you would die in the very sins that you thought were no big deal, clinging to a faith in yourselves. Thanks be to God, indeed, that he breaks you free from these chains of death and self-delusion. What a merciful Lord you have, for he leaves you with nowhere to go except to him. What a great and merciful thing this law is that exposes as useless and futile any and all attempts by you to reach up to God by your own efforts. What a loving God you have that makes it clear in his word that he and he alone is your hope and your salvation, your light and your life. The Lord refuses to soften the law, for to do so would be to cave in to your old Adam, which always wants credit, seeks praise, and claims to be worthy. The law is intended to show you that you are only fooling yourselves. And it prepares you for the truth, the glorious truth, the gospel truth, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, your loving Redeemer, and that in him and him alone all of your sins have been atoned. That atonement, fully earned for you, is delivered to the ministry of his word and sacraments to be received, that you would be justified by God created repentance and belief. As God inspired St. Paul to write to the believing Romans, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Dear believing brothers and sisters in Christ, alive through the one that you need.